and he encourages people to rush to do good deeds. And he tells them that verily what awaits people is the judgment on the day of resurrection. Fear Allah, O servants of Allah, in His lands and in His servants, and you will be asked even about the animals. Obey Allah and do not disobey Him. And if you see the good, then act upon it. And if you see the bad, then leave it. And among other things that he said, but these are some highlights we wanted to look at from his first khutbah as the Khalifa. So there was now a group of the Sahaba that did not pledge. And at the head of those was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and Abdullah ibn Umar. They didn't pledge to Ali radiallahu anhu, as well as Usama ibn Zayd and Suhaib al-Rumi and Hassan ibn Thabit, the poet of the Prophet ﷺ, and Zayd ibn Thabit and Muhammad ibn Maslama and Ka'b ibn Malik and Nu'man ibn Bashir and Rafi' ibn Khudayj, Salama ibn Waqs. All of these people have not given bay'ah, not to mention Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Maslama ibn Mukhlid and Abdullah ibn Salam. Most of these people left Medina before they could pledge to Ali radiallahu anhu. And others just didn't show up to pledge. They didn't want to pledge. And Bani Umayyah, the people of Bani Umayyah, the tribe of Uthman radiallahu anhu, who were in Medina, also didn't want to pledge. Most of them left Medina after the murder of Uthman. And at their head was Sa'id ibn al-As and al-Walid ibn al-Uqbah and Marwan ibn al-Hakam. They went to Mecca and they settled there. So a great number of the Sahaba did not pledge to Ali. Adding to that, that Talha ibn Ubaidullah and Zubayr ibn Awam were forced, they were coerced to give the pledge. And of course, nor did Sa'ad nor ibn Umar. And we mentioned these in particular because they were of the six people of Shura. So then Ali radiallahu anhu took the pledge, and some people had refused and others were confused. So the greater Sahaba then gathered and they went to Ali radiallahu anhu, saying, "O Ali, we have stipulated the hudud," meaning that we have to avenge the death of Uthman. "So know that our pledge to you was not given in acceptance, and that those people of fitna are guilty with the blood of Uthman, and they're getting away with it." So then Ali radiallahu anhu tells them, "O brothers, I'm not ignorant of what you know." He says, "I know what you know, but how should I deal with the people who control us and we do not control ourselves?" Meaning, we're not in control of ourselves now. They're in control of everything. "Here they are, and even our servants are with them, and the Arabs went to them." So the servants and the other, like all the like Arabs and servants in Medina, the ignorant people followed them. So he's telling them, "Even our servants are with them, and the Arabs went to them. And they're amongst you, forcing you upon whatever they please." So he's saying, "How do I have people in this situation killed? So do you see me having power to do anything?" So they said, "No." Then he tells them, "By Allah, I agree with you. What they did is a doing of jahiliyyah, and to these people is strength. They have some strength to them. Verily, people like them, if they're challenged, a group will agree with you." So he's saying that if we challenge them now, a group of people are going to agree with you, and a group will not agree with you because of tribalism. They're going to defend those of their tribe. And a group will not agree to either one. It will cause separation. So be patient until people calm down and their hearts settle in their places. So he's telling them that if you see me in power and I have the control, and then I still leave them, then you can come talk to me. But right now, I don't have any control over them. So don't complain to me now about not killing the murderers of Uthman. And if we focus on this saying of Ali radiallahu anhu when he tells them, be patient until people calm down and the hearts settle, this was the wise decision of Ali radiallahu anhu. And other Sahaba saw that they should immediately first kill the murderers of Uthman. And this is something that Ali radiallahu anhu constantly called for. And we'll see it many, many times. So they tell Ali radiallahu anhu, "If you have no power, the Muslims have power in them. They're saying we can do something." And he tells them that a fitna will take place if you try to do something right now. More killing and more bloodshed. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he was also of the opinion that you don't just go and start killing these people. You only kill the ones who actually killed Uthman. You can't just have people, if we take the least number of narrations, 1800 people. And the maximum is 3000 people who came into Medina, going out and just start killing them without trials, without investigating. So this is what Ali wanted, radiallahu anhu. When things calm down and everything the affair is settled, then he starts to try people and then to kill the murderers of Uthman. And not just to have 3,000 men butchered like that. So he tells them, a fitna will take place. So they refused. So he orders, no one from Quraysh leave Medina. So this upset the Quraysh at him. And they're saying he should be harsh on the people of fitna, not on us. But of course, what he was trying to do, he's trying to prevent people from splitting and causing more fitna. So he didn't want anyone from Quraysh to go out of Medina. So then Ali radiallahu anhu, when he hears that they were upset at him, he gathers them and he praises Allah. And he mentions the virtues and the merits of Quraysh. He's telling them, I know your position. And then he mentions that I lift you here because I need you. Do not separate. I need your opinion and I have no support and no power without you. And he tells them that a person who leaves his people, there is no good in him. And I'm hard on you not because I don't need you, but because I need you. So they were not totally satisfied by this, but Ali radiallahu anhu wanted to take things one step at a time. One, he should keep the Sahaba with him, because if they all leave and it's just him and the people of fitna, what kind of good is going to come out of this? So he wants, for one, to keep the Sahaba with him. The second thing is to get rid of the people of fitna. Get them out of Medina so they can go back to their place and they can start to get things in order. So then he gives a speech and he says, O people, get rid of the A'rab. And the A'rab are those people from just like the regions and so on who join the people of fitna. He tells them, send them out. All of them leave. Everyone go back home. He's not speaking about the people of fitna, the people who increased their numbers and supported them. He tells them, go back to their places. He's trying to decrease the number of the people of fitna. But they caught on to this. They said, Wallahi, no one leaves. So now this is the Khalifa. And he's supposed to be in charge. And he gives an order and they go against it. So the A'rab stayed. So then he calls the greater Sahaba, Talha and Zubair and others. He tells them, look at his wisdom, radiallahu anhu. He tells them, do you want to avenge the death of Uthman? They said, yes. He says, take revenge. Go ahead. So they realize they have no power. So then he encouraged them to unite with him. And that as they grow in strength gradually, they can get rid of them. And this is the wise and intelligent opinion of Ali radiallahu anhu. But he was not obeyed. And the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they rushed. So now Ali radiallahu anhu is going to try to control the other provinces. When he saw that there is no hope in controlling the people from the inside, he tried to make the change from the outside. The way he thought about it, the Sahaba are not with him. The people of fitna are in charge of Medina. The only way to get control is that if all corners of the Muslim Ummah give bay'ah, he can form armies from the outside. And he saw that the governors, all the governors in the Amsar, the major cities, were from Bani Umayyah. They were people who were chosen by Uthman and put there by Uthman. And all of them are angry at the death of Uthman. So he knew they would not obey him. But they would follow the opinion of Talha and Zubair and those who wanted to avenge the death of Uthman. So he thought to himself, radiallahu anhu, that the only solution is to depose them and then put those who are going to obey him in their place. Remove the governors of Uthman and put governors that are going to obey him in their place. That way he can control the provinces and the other places. So then Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he heard of Ali's plan to change the governors. So he comes to him and he tells him, do you want to remove all the governors? He tells him, yes. He tells him, don't do it. He says, Wallahi, if you try to depose them, they will hold to their positions and disobey you. So first take the pledge from them and then remove them. This is a wise decision of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Ali radiallahu anhu refused. In his opinion, that if you don't obey the Khalifa, then what's the use of him as a Khalifa? The least he should be able to do is to choose his governors. The scholars and the historians, looking back at this, they say this was the biggest mistake of Ali radiallahu anhu, is that he didn't take the opinion of Ibn Abbas. So then he sends to Yemen, Ubaydullah ibn Abbas, and there, the governor that was put by Uthman, his name is Ya'li, and he's from Bani Umayyah. And when he hears the news of the new Amir coming to take his place, the new governor from Ali, he left, but he took all of the wealth with him. Of course, he didn't take it for his personal use. But he leaves immediately, and he takes all of the wealth with him. So then,
Later on, when he hears the news of Talha and Zubair and Aisha gathering an army in Mecca, the governor of Uthman joins them. And so then Ubaydullah ibn Abbas, the new governor appointed by Ali, reaches them and he reads the message of Ali radiallahu anhu, and all of them pledge to him, and now Yemen is under the control of Ali radiallahu anhu. So then he sends Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn al-As al-Makhzumi to Mecca as the governor, and they refused him. So he returns. So then he sent Qithm ibn al-Abbas, and they accepted him, but not for long, as we will see. Then he sends Muhammad ibn Abi Hudhayfa to Egypt, and Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Sarh stepped down immediately. Abdullah ibn Sa'd was put there by Uthman. So he stepped down, and Muhammad ibn Hudhayfa becomes the new governor of Egypt, but he was killed. When Ali hears that his governor was killed, he sent Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubadah, one of the Sahaba. And he reaches them, and they welcomed him, and they pledged to him and to Ali, except for a small group of the companions who didn't pledge to him, and they settled in a place called Kharabta. And we're going to mention this place again. Then he sends Sahl ibn Hunayf as a governor to Asham. And as you know, Asham is under Muawiyah, and it's been under Muawiyah for 20 years. And Muawiyah is from Bani Umayyah. So when Sahl ibn Hunayf goes, he reaches the area of Tabuk, the warriors come out in rows to meet him. 60,000 warriors who are ready to avenge the death of Uthman. They met him, and he asked him, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Sahl ibn Hunayf." And they said, "What is your business here?" And he said, "Amir." And they said, "If Uthman sent you, then welcome. Fahayhala. If Uthman sent you, you're welcome. And if others sent you, then go back." He tells them, "Have you not received the news of the murder of Uthman?" And they said, "Yes." He asked them, "Didn't you receive the news of the bay'ah to Ali?" And they said, "Yes." So basically, they're telling him that, "Yes, we know, but we don't accept." 60,000 warriors who have been seeing the blood of Uthman up on the minbar every day, they're ready to avenge his blood. And this happened because Naila radiallahu anha, she removed the third of the shirt of Uthman, and narrations will tell you she even put her cut fingers in the garment and gave it to Nu'man ibn Bashir and said, "Take this to Muawiyah and tell him I have entrusted you with the blood of Uthman." So Nu'man arrives on the day of Friday, and the people have gathered, and he shows the garment and the blood of the Khalifa and the fingers of his wife, and he throws the garment on Muawiyah and said, "Oh Muawiyah, you are entrusted with the blood." So the people cried. And as we said, Muawiyah hung it up. People were crying and warriors were gathering under it, waiting for the command. So now Ali is not able to get control of Al-Sham. He has control of Yemen. Now he sends Uthman ibn Hunayth to Al-Basra. And the people there are separated. Some people are with Ali radiallahu anhu, other people are against him. And Abdullah ibn Amr was the governor. He refused to pledge to Ali. He was the governor by Uthman, Abdullah ibn Amr. He refuses to pledge, and he left Basra and went to Mecca. So now in Al-Kufa, the governor is Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And he used to be known for staying away from fitan. He was the governor of Uthman. And he used to be known for staying away from fitan. And actually, he is the one who narrates most of the ahadith about fitan from the Prophet ﷺ. And he is the one who narrated the hadith giving Uthman glad tidings of paradise upon a calamity that befalls him, as well as others in Sahih Bukhari. And let's just look at some of the hadith that he narrated radiallahu anhu. In Bukhari, he narrates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Before you there will be fitan, commotions, like pieces of a dark night, in which a man will be a believer in the morning and an infidel in the evening. He who sits during them will be better than the one who gets up, and he who gets up during them is better than the one who walks, and he who walks during them," meaning the fitan, "is better than he who runs." And then the people said, "What do you order us to do?" asking the Prophet ﷺ. And he replied, "Keep to your houses." Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he's the one who narrates this hadith. He narrates another one, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Before the last hour there will be fitan, like pieces of dark night, in which a man will be a believer in the morning." And a very similar hadith. And then in the end, it says, "So break your bows, cut your bowstrings, and strike your swords on stones, dull them, to ruin them. If people then come in to one of you, let him be like the better of Adam's two sons. The better of Adam's two sons is the one who will allow the other to kill him. So the Prophet ﷺ is warning of fitan, and he's saying, you break the bow, and then you break the bowstring. There's no way you can use the bow. And you ruin and you damage your swords. And if people come to kill you, you'll be the one who's killed. So, when he hears of the murder of Uthman, and he gets a messenger from Ali radiallahu anhu that Ali is the new Khalifa, he immediately, this is Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, the governor, put there by Uthman. When he hears of the pledge to Ali, he immediately gathers the people and takes their pledge to Ali. He doesn't want fitan. He doesn't want to be a cause of dissension and division in the Ummah radiallahu anhu. And he immediately sent a message to Ali, saying that we have pledged to you. So then Ali radiallahu anhu left him in his place, because he's on his side. So Ali left him as governor of Kufa. So now Ali radiallahu anhu has a pledge in Mecca, but that's halfway. Like half the people there pledge to Ali, the others don't. Half of Basra, half the people there pledge and the others don't. All of Yemen and all of Al-Kufa, but nothing at all in Al-Sham. The situation is that if Al-Sham pledges, then all of the Ummah more or less has pledged to Ali. So he tries to take the bay'ah from Muawiyah. So he's thinking that if Muawiyah won't allow him to remove him, at least he'll pledge to him. So he sent him a message with a man called Subra al-Juhni. And he gives him a message demanding from him and from the people of Sham. In parts of the message, he says, praise to Allah, whom there is no God besides. To proceed, you have heard what happened to Uthman, and the people pledged to me. So enter into this peace as the people have done. Wassalam. Very short letter. Asking him to pledge to Ali. So Muawiyah, when he gets this letter, he says, give me time. The messenger, Subra al-Juhni, comes the next day. And Muawiyah tells him, give me time. And this continues for 3 months. Muawiyah doesn't want to give any kind of response. From Dhul Hijjah until Safar, no response. And at the end of the 3 months, he didn't know what to do. And notice, he is not demanding the Khilafah. And subhanAllah, many people until today think that the fighting between Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and Ali ibn Abi Talib was over the Khilafah. It was not. So he does not demand the Khilafah, and he is never referred to as Amir al-Mu'mineen until the 40th year after the Hijrah, when Al-Hasan ibn Ali pledges to him. So he feels that he is the one who was entrusted to avenge the blood of Uthman. So should he pledge to Ali radiallahu anhu? Or if not, what should he do? Should he attack Medina to kill the people of Fitna? And they're embedded in the army of Ali. So then he'll have to fight Ali. So what should he do? So he lets Subra al-Juhmi return back to Ali. And he tells him, what about your response? He says, my response will come. So he called two men from Bani Abs and Bani Rawaha. And he gave them a letter, a sealed letter. And he tells them, enter with this into Medina. And then when you enter, open it and raise it. So they arrived there and they opened it. It says that it's a message from Muawiyah to Ali. And didn't say Amir al-Mu'mineen. Just a message from Muawiyah to Ali. Which means he's not accepting the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu. Not because he wanted to be the Khalifa, because he is of those who stipulated, first we kill the murderers of Uthman, then we'll pledge to you. These two messengers that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu sent, they entered until they reached Medina in the beginning of Rabi' al-Awwal. And Ali takes it to read it, and he finds nothing in it. It's blank. So he says to the messengers, what is this? So the man says, Li al-Aman, will I be safe? Meaning, the people of Fitna are right here. Can I speak freely and be safe? He tells him, yes, because the messengers are not killed. You don't kill messengers. He says, I have come, leaving behind me a people that will not accept anything but retribution. So they ask him, from whom? So he tells him, from those who are with you, meaning the people of Fitna. I'm here, embedded in your army. He says, I left 60,000 men crying under the garment of Uthman as it is hung up. They have dressed the pulpit, figuratively speaking, that they have hung it up on the pulpit of Dimashq with it. So then Ali says, they demand the blood of Uthman from me? Am I not as upset over his death as you are? And then he says, Allahumma, this is Ali radiallahu anhu, Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka min dami Uthman. Saying, oh Allah, I am innocent from the blood of Uthman. And then Ali radiallahu anhu says something. He says, Naja wallahi qatalat Uthman. He says that the killers of Uthman, they got away from us. Except if Allah wills, for verily if He decrees something, it will happen. And then he tells him to leave. So he's saying that if we disagree like this, how are we ever going to kill the murderers of Uthman? So we're not going to get them. Because look how we're fighting over these things. They're going to escape like this. So then the man says, I leave and I will be safe. Because now if he leaves, these people might attack him and kill him. So Ali says, and you will be safe. So then when he left the masjid, he feels he's safe now. He screams out loud, قَتَلَ اللَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ عُثْمَانَ قَتَلَ اللَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ عُثْمَانَ. May Allah kill those who killed Uthman. Twice he yells this out loud. So the people of Fitna gathered around him and they insulted him. هَذَا الْكَلْبُ هَذَا وَافِدُ الْكِلَابِ. This dog, he's a messenger of a dog. Kill him. So when he saw the people are attacking him, he thought he was safe. That's why he made the statement. So he calls out, O people of Mudr, O people of Qais, your support. So they came, Bani Abs, his people, they came to his aid. So the people of Fitna back off. And he threatens them. He tells him, I swear by Allah, glorified be his names. He threatens him. He says, we will come to you with 4,000. And then he screams, what they fear has come to them. The death that these people fear, it's coming to them. Their deeds are done and their strength is over. And he's saying, by Allah, they know that they're defeated now. So when the people of Fitna saw that they were challenged, openly challenged, and that they're not feared anymore, so they had a meeting. And Ashtar al-Nukhi said, let's leave and separate. Just break up the small groups and all of us leave Medina. So then Ibn Saba', Abdullah ibn Saba', ibn Sauda', said, what a bad judgment. Let us infiltrate and mix with the army of Ali, so we're among his people and his close groups, and so they can't fight us except by fighting Ali with us. And he had the best opinion. So they agreed upon that. So from then on, they never gathered together. Before, they used to gather together and you can identify them as the people of Fitna. But from that point on, they were never together, but they always mixed with people. Wherever Ali was, they were mixed amongst that group and they would never leave it. And you will see as we go on, they're always surrounding Ali radiallahu anhu. So now when he consults, he's consulting them. Meanwhile, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu decided to leave Al-Madinah. He sees that there's no control there and he feared that if he told Ali that he's leaving Medina, that Ali will prevent him. He had not pledged to Ali, but he still wanted to leave without letting him know. His position was that he would stay away from the fitna totally. So he goes at night to Kulthum, the daughter of Ali radiallahu anhu. And she used to be the wife of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So she was actually his stepmother. So he goes to her and he tells her, I decided to go to Mecca to avoid the fitna. And I'm afraid that Ali will not think well of me. So tell him that I'm going to Mecca just to avoid the fitna. So in the morning, people wake up and they find that Abdullah ibn Umar is not around. And news reaches Ali radiallahu anhu. So they said to him, this is worse for you than the refusal of Talha and Zubair to give the bay'ah. Because they thought that Abdullah ibn Umar was going to Asham, to Syria, to Muawiyah. And there he was going to become the Khalifa. And everyone was going to pledge to Abdullah ibn Umar. And there they have an army of 60,000. So they're telling him, this is worse for you than Talha and Zubair refusing to pledge to you. So then Ali radiallahu anhu feared that the ummah would be with two khulafa. So he prepares the army to get to Abdullah ibn Umar and stop him from reaching Hisham, to stop the greater fitna. He's preparing an army now just to stop Abdullah ibn Umar from getting to Hisham. So now news of these preparations reaches Kulthum and she tells him what happened. She tells him that he just said he's going to Mecca. So then Ali radiallahu anhu says, Wallahi, he is with me, trustworthy. He's saying that Abdullah ibn Umar, if he tells you he went to Mecca, I believe him. He's a trustworthy man. And he for sure he went to Mecca. So he believes him immediately. He doesn't think that perhaps he's still going to Hisham. He's doing this as a diversion. He says, Wallahi, I believe him. As we remember, we mentioned that Aisha radiallahu anha and the other mothers of the believers, they left Medina before the murder of Uthman radiallahu anha. They left for Hajj in Mecca. And Aisha radiallahu anha would go every day to the area of Sarif on the way to Medina and wait for the news. And when the news reaches her of Uthman, the death of Uthman, she says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then she waits to see what happens. And she hears the news of people pledging to Ali radiallahu anhu. And she knew that the companions won't pledge and that Ali has no power over the people of Fitna. So she goes to the Haram in Mecca and she sits in the Hijr of Ismail, that small semicircular area you see in the pictures of the Kaaba. She sat there and a partition was put up and people gathered. And she was known, radiallahu anha, to have a loud voice. So she spoke out loud and she praised Allah. And she sent the salah upon his messenger, Muhammad. And then she starts to call the people to gather and to prepare to kill the murderers of Uthman. By her estimation, Ali radiallahu anhu is powerless in Medina. And she wants to gather the people to go and avenge the death of Uthman. Abdullah ibn Amr, we mentioned him, he was the governor of Basra, put there by Uthman. And he left it when the new governor came from Ba'ali. He left and he went to Mecca. And when he heard this, he said, I will be the first to join this army. He responds to the call of Aisha radiallahu anha. And Talha and Zubair and others gathered to go and kill the murderers of Uthman. So now, the governor of Ali in Mecca, Qithm ibn al-Abbas, he saw that he has no control, so he went back to Medina. Because now, Ali radiallahu anhu had put him the governor of Mecca, and he sees now the armies and all the people are getting ready to attack and kill the murderers of Uthman, so he sees that he has no power, so he leaves Mecca and he goes back to Medina. Then joining them is also Ya'li ibn Umayyah, and remember him from Yemen, he's the one who took all the wealth. He left, remember he refused to pledge to Ali, he took all the wealth and he went to Mecca, he didn't take it for his personal use. He arrives in Mecca and he finds the army looking for money to help raise the army. So he brings them the wealth saying, I gathered it during the reign of Uthman, so take it. And he had with him 600 camels and 600,000 dirhams. So this is excellent assistance in preparing the army. So there are 1,000 warriors prepared now under the army of Aisha radiallahu anha and Talha and Zubair. Where should they go now? Where should this army head? Should they go to Medina? And they say no. It's the place of the people of Fitna. And Ali radiallahu anhu won't allow it. And we don't want to fight Ali. They don't want that. Should they go to Al-Sham? They thought, they found that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is in charge of Al-Sham and he's on their side. So Abdullah ibn Amr, who said he was the former governor of Basra, he suggests, he says, let us go to Al-Basra. And I'm their governor, I used to be their governor there, and the people there respect me. So let's head there. So they start to head to Al-Basra. And the people start to hear of the army of the mothers of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, and they start to join this army. Remember we said the army had 1,000 warriors? In no time, the army now consists of 3,000 warriors. Hafsa and the rest of the mothers of the believers left out with the army. Because at this point, they were thinking that they're going to Medina. But then when it became that the army is going to Basra, the mothers of the believers went back. They left back. They went to Mecca. They said, we're not going to Basra with you. But Hafsa radiallahu anha said, my opinion is that of Aisha. And she left with Aisha. So now Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhun are going to Basra with the army. But Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhum hears of Hafsa. She's his sister. He hears of her and that she joined the army and he came to her and he said, go back. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was alive, he was in charge over Hafsa radiallahu anha. And when her husband, the Prophet ﷺ, dies, Umar, her father, becomes in charge of her. And when Umar radiallahu anhu dies, her brother becomes in charge of her. And these are values that have been lost now. If a girl's father dies and her brother tells her something, she won't listen to him. But this is how it is. This is the mother of the believers, Hafsa radiallahu anha. And her brother tells her, go back. You can't go to Basra. He doesn't allow her. So Hafsa sends to Aisha, saying, Abdullah has prevented me. And then Aisha says, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And Hafsa radiallahu anha goes back to Mecca. When this army of Aisha radiallahu anha left Mecca, the women and the people and everyone came out crying over the death of Uthman. So many people came out crying over the death of Uthman. So the people of the army themselves started to cry, and the voices were raised with weeping and crying. So much so that it became known as the day of Nahib. Nahib is crying in a loud voice. Everyone crying, remembering the third Khalifa of Islam and how he was murdered. And now they're going to avenge his death. It was a very sad moment. So now all the great companions and all those of Bani Umayyah went out with Talha and Zubair and Abdullah ibn Zubair. These were the leaders of the movement. As well, Al-Walid ibn Uqba and Sa'id ibn al-As and Al-Marwan ibn al-Hakam from Bani Umayyah. And not to mention al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. And the army advances, and it was the time for Salah. So now, usually the Amir is the one who leads the Salah. And Aisha is the head of the movement, and she cannot lead the Salah, obviously. So, Abdullah ibn Zubair says, let Al-Zubair lead the Salah. And Muhammad ibn Talha says, let Talha lead the Salah. And they asked Aisha, and she said, Abdurrahman ibn Utab ibn Usaid should lead the Salah. So she wants to move the issue from having disagreement if it's Talha or Zubair should lead the Salah. So she has Abdurrahman ibn Utab ibn Usaid lead the Salah. So then Ali radiallahu anhu hears of the news of this army, and at first he says, we'll leave them alone. And then he thought to himself and says, if I could convince them to join me, then that would be better. So he had an army prepared to attack Al-Basra. This is when he found no bay'ah in Al-Basra, he prepared an army to attack there. And the people were asking him, how are you going to attack a people who are not fighting against you? And then he tells them, if every governor lives with his region, meaning if every governor says, I'm not going to pledge and I'm staying with my region, I'm still in charge of them, he says, the ummah will be separated. So we have to take the pledge by force. So in the sight of Ali radiallahu anhu, the ummah separating like this was a bigger fitna than just the issue of killing the murderers of Uthman right now or a little later. When he heads out, this is when he was on his way to Basra, he hears the news of the army of Mecca and he thought that it's better to stop them before they reach Basra. We have a narration from a man by the name of Marwan ibn Abdurrahman al-Khamisi. He says, we left Kufa, Mu'tamirin. We left al-Kufa to go to make Umrah. And we heard the news of the death of Uthman. We reached this area in which Ali radiallahu anhu with his army on the way to al-Basra had stopped. And we found a small army there. I asked, what is that? And they said, Amir al-Mu'mineen. So I said, what is with him? Why is he here? They said he went out to get back Talha and Zubair and to prevent them, meaning from reaching al-Basra. And I said, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Should I join Ali and fight against those two great men and the mother of the believers, meaning Aisha? He's thinking to himself, do I join Ali and fight against Talha and Zubair and Aisha? Or should I go against this and fight with them? Fight with Talha and Zubair and Aisha against those who killed Uthman. It's a predicament. And he's telling himself, which would I pick now? So he says, so I left and I came to him at Fajr prayer. Came to Ali radiallahu anhu at Fajr prayer. And then he describes, he says, he led the prayer and after Taslim, Al-Hasan sat in front of him. His son, his older son Al-Hasan came and sat in front of Ali. He says, I have told you, but you didn't listen to me. So tomorrow you'll be killed with no supporters. This is Al-Hasan talking to his father, telling him, I told you and you didn't listen to me, and tomorrow you're going to be killed without any supporters. So he's speaking to his father in such a harsh way. His father, Ali radiallahu anhu, got angry. And he tells him, what did you tell me when I didn't listen? Al-Hasan says, I told you when they besieged Uthman to leave Medina. So if he's killed, you're not in it. Then I told you when he was murdered to not accept the pledge until the people come back to you and give you the bay'ah. Then I told you that when the two men went out, stay at home. He's talking about Talha and Zubair. So if there is any death or killing, it's not on you. So basically he wanted Ali radiallahu anhu to have no part in any of this. So then Ali says, O son, as for leaving Medina, we were surrounded as he was surrounded. So he's saying,
Uthman radiallahu anhu was surrounded in his home, and we were also not allowed to leave Medina and live freely and go wherever we want. The Sahaba couldn't do that. So then he says that as for the decision of the pledge, it was the decision of the people of Medina, and they're the ones who pledged to me. And then when Talha and Zubair went out, I've been upset ever since. Every time I try to fix something, people don't listen. And how could you want me to stay at home? How can I, when I am the Amir, what do you want me to do? He says to him, if I don't look after the affairs that I'm entrusted with, who will? So then he tells him, leave me be, O son. So it's a difficult situation. And the arguments of Hassan, they look good. But then the counter arguments of Ali radiallahu anhu, saying that I can't just sit in Medina and not look after these affairs and just sit and wait. So now at this point, there are three armies. There is a major army in Al-Sham, and it's not doing anything at the moment. And then there is an army that's moving towards Basra, and that is the army of Talha and Zubair and Aisha radiallahu anhu. And then there's the army of Ali radiallahu anhu, and he only had 700 men, and he's attempting to stop Talha and Zubair. But as news of him approaching grew, his army grew and became anywhere from 1,000 to up to 3,000 warriors. So then Ali radiallahu anhu decides to go to Basra to stop Talha and Zubair. So now the people of Basra, they hear of this army coming to them. And Uthman ibn Hunayth, he was the governor that was put there by Ali radiallahu anhu, he had the choice now. Does he accept this army or does he stop this army? And we understand the army has in it Aisha radiallahu anha. Do you go out and stop this army with another force or do you accept them? And he's given the bay'ah and he's the governor of Ali radiallahu anhu. So these are the divisions that the Muslim Ummah was upon. So then when the army of Aisha radiallahu anha and Talha and Zubair reached near al-Basra in the area of al-Hufayr, Umair ibn Abdullah al-Tamimi came to the mother of the believers and he said, O mother of the believers, I ask you by Allah to write to them. Perhaps they'll agree to what you're calling them. Yeah, and they'll agree with you. And so he's saying, instead of going all the way in there with no introduction and seeing what might happen, let's write them and they might just join us without any fight. So she likes his idea. So she told Ibn Amr, and he was, as we said, the former governor of Basra, and people by Uthman, and people liked him there and they knew him. So she tells him to enter into Al-Basra and to inform the people of their intention, that they're gathering there so they can get the revenge and avenge the death of Uthman. So he agrees. So she sent him and he enters secretly into Al-Basra. And she also gave letters to the leaders of Al-Basra. And among them were famous companions like Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais and Sabra ibn Shayman, and she's waiting for the response at Al-Hufayr. So now their army is camped there. So then Abdullah ibn Amr enters and he finds the people with different views. Some don't want to participate at all. These are like the Sahabi Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, doesn't want to participate in the fitna at all. And others are with the view that there should be with the army of Ali radiallahu anhu and not that of Talha and Zubair and Aisha. So they refuse to go out. So then Uthman ibn Hunayth, who was the governor of Ali, he heard of this army coming and he starts to prepare an army. In case they start to enter Basra by force, he's going to send this army to stop them. And he was afraid that people are not going to rally behind them, because the army has in it the mother of the believers, Talha and Zubair. So he sent Umran ibn Husayn and Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali to find out the state of mind of the people. And he also sent them to Aisha to see what the intent of their army is. And we can see the true intent from the narrations that came to us. They go to Aisha radiallahu anha, in the place they're camped at. And they say to them, their messengers say to them, our Amir sent us to you to find out the reason why you came here. So will you tell us? And then Aisha radiallahu anha says to them, wallahi, one like me does not advance in secrecy. The things that I do are obvious. I don't have hidden intentions. And I would not hide from my children the news, because she's a mother of the believers. So she says that the troublemakers attacked the city of the messengers of Allah, and they did horrible things there, and they earned the curse of Allah, and that the curse of Allah and the curse of His Messenger for what they did by murdering the Amir of the Believers for no reason, and they stole his wealth in the month that is haram, in the place that is haram, and they come into this place by force, meaning Medina, while people are not able to stop them. So I came out to let the Muslims know of what they did and of the situation in Medina, that now it's under their control, and to let people know that they have a part in fixing this. So this is our aim, to encourage you to fix the situation. So very clearly from what she's saying, radiallahu anha, it has nothing to do with wanting the Khilafah or that Ali shouldn't be the Khalifa. She never mentions that, radiallahu anha. So she's just saying that the Khalifa is powerless, we're trying to fix the situation, and we want to kill those who murdered Uthman. So Abu al-Aswad and Umran, they left, and they went to Talha, radiallahu anhu, and they asked him, what brought you here? And he said, to avenge the blood of Uthman. And they said, but didn't you pledge to Ali? He said, yes, with the sword at my neck. So to Talha, it doesn't count, because he was forced. And he says, I have no objection to Ali as Khalifa as long as he leaves between us and the murder of Uthman. I don't object to Ali as long as he doesn't get in our way of getting the murderers of Uthman. So they went and they bade farewell to the mother of the believers, and she bade Umran farewell and said, O Abu al-Aswad, do not let desire lead you into the hellfire, and she gives him advice. So then they went back to the governor of Basra, Uthman ibn Hunayf, and they let him know that the army is only here because they want to kill the murderers of Uthman, and they're here without the permission of Ali. And he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And he consults them. This is the governor. What a difficult situation. So they decide to stay as they are. Whoever wants, from the people of Basra, the population, whoever wants to go join them, then that's okay. And if they want to stay in Basra, they stay. And he's saying, we're not going to defend the murderers of Uthman. So this is their position. But he says, I will not allow them to enter Basra without the permission of the Amir of the Mu'mineen. I'm not going to let these groups enter without the permission of the Khalifa, and that will cause chaos. So Umran says, Allah decrees what He wills, and he went home. Umran, one of the people he sent to Aisha, he goes to his home. And then Uthman ibn Hunayf wants to know the situation of Basra. So he sent someone to sit amongst the people. So the man came at a gathering, and he stood up and he said, I am Qais al-Humaysi. And these people, meaning the army of Mecca, who came to you, if they came afraid, meaning they came out of fear, then they came from a place where the birds are safe. So he's telling the people, he's testing the people, saying that if these people came out of fear, they came from the safest place, which is Mecca. The birds are safe there, because they're not allowed to be killed. And then he says, and if they came asking for the blood of Uthman, we're not the ones who killed him. So he's saying something like this, provocative, and he wants to see what the reaction will be. So then, a man by the name of Al-Aswad ibn Surayy' al-Sa'di got up. And he said, do they think we're the killers of Uthman? So he's telling him, don't change the story. They're not here because they think we're the killers of Uthman. He says, they came to seek our aid in killing the murderers of Uthman. And then they took stones and they threw them at him, at Qais al-Humaysi. So the governor, Uthman ibn Hunayf, knew that now Basra is divided. There are people who want to join the army and people who don't. Now the army of Aisha drew near, came right to the outskirts of Basra, and they camped there at a place known as Al-Marbad. So Uthman ibn Hunayf, the governor, he came out with his army and they camped right in front of them. So he didn't want to let them to enter Basra. Now when the armies got near each other, Talha radiallahu anhu got up and he started talking to the people, explaining why they had come. After he spoke his army, they started to yell, Sadaqt, Sadaqt, a truthful speech, you have spoken the truth. So when the people of Fitna and the army of Uthman, the governor of Basra, heard them, and why were the people of Fitna and the army of Uthman? Because if you remember, the groups left from Basra, groups left from Kufa, and they went to Medina. And some people remained in control of Medina, while others returned back to Basra. So now some of the people of Fitna were in the army of Basra, facing the army of the Mothers of the Believers, and Talha and Zubair. So some of them were in the army of Uthman, the governor. And when they heard the army of Talha
telling him, "Sadaqt, you have spoken the truth." They said, "Bal kadhabt wa fajart," you have lied. And they started to curse and to cuss at Talha radiallahu anhu. So then Zubayr radiallahu anhu got up to speak, and he wanted to encourage them to join their cause. And when he was done, his army told him, "Sadaqt wa barart." And then the people of Fitna responded, "Bal kadhabt wa fajart." No respect for the companions of the Prophet. So then when Aisha radiallahu anha saw differences to this degree, she asked to speak. And everyone was quiet. And she gave a powerful khutbah. And we said before, she had a strong and loud voice. So she gave a powerful khutbah. And she said that the truth is that we have not come to remove nor to challenge Uthman ibn Hunayf. But how can we keep quiet about the blood of Uthman? And he was killed in the month that is haram, in the land that is haram. And after her speech, the army of Uthman ibn Hunayf split in two. The speech was so strong that the army that came to stop them from entering Basra split in two now. Part of the army said, "Sadaqti wa bararti," you've spoken the truth. And a group said, "Bal kadhabat wa fajarat," and she is the mother of the believers. And they're speaking like that. Now the two groups in the army of Uthman ibn Hunayf started to insult each other. Because now the army split. Part of them now are on the side of the mother of the believers. And others are with the governor. So they start to insult each other. Meanwhile, the army of Mecca is just watching this other army now breaking apart. And then Hukaym ibn Jabala, remember him, the thief amongst the people of Fitna, saw that the army of Mecca is increasing. People now leaving the army of Basra and joining the army of Mecca. He feared that if everyone joins them, they're going to be uncovered. The people of Fitna are going to be the only ones. And then they're going to be destroyed. So he and those who are with him immediately got up and started the fighting. They attacked the army of Talha and Zubair and Aisha radiallahu anha. So then Aisha ordered the soldiers to hold back and to defend themselves only, but not to kill them. And Hukaym ibn Jabala had ordered those with him to attack fiercely. And Aisha keeps ordering people to pull back because they were not there to fight them. So they kept pulling back and just defending until nighttime came, and then the two armies separated. So now Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to consult with those in her army what to do. So they decided to move to another place. And whoever wants to join them comes there to join them. So the news of this reaches Hukaym ibn Jabala, the thief amongst the people of Fitna. And he gets those who are with him ready to fight again. He doesn't want the situation to calm down, people can think, and then clearly go join the army, and then that leaves them uncovered. So every time things are going to calm down, he's going to start the fighting. So he tells those who are with him to get ready, and right after Fajr, they attack again. And the battle remained from Fajr until Dhuhr. And until now, the army of Aisha radiallahu anha, they're only defending themselves. But then when they saw that the others insist on killing them, Talha and Zubayr radiallahu anhuma ordered they should fight back. So they start to fight back. And then the losses start to come down on the army of Hukaym ibn Jabala, who's amongst the army of Uthman ibn Hunayf. And notice that Uthman radiallahu anhu, the governor, never ordered the attack. But the people of Fitna are the ones who started the attack. So many of people were wounded from the army of Aisha radiallahu anha, but many people died from the army of Hukaym. And when they felt that they're going to be defeated, they asked for peace. And then Aisha radiallahu anha immediately stopped the fighting. Usually other armies, if the other one is asking for peace because they're being defeated, they continue crushing them. But because they didn't come out to fight, Aisha immediately called for them to stop fighting. So then they began to negotiate. And Uthman ibn Hunayf sent to them, saying, "Aren't you bound by a pledge to Ali? So why don't we wait for the decision of the Khalifa?" So they said, "We have no bay'ah." He said, yes, there is. You did make a bay'ah." They said, "Our bay'ah was by force." He said, "I received news that you made bay'ah." So then the discussion becomes whether their bay'ah was by force or by their own decision. So they said to Uthman ibn Hunayf, if we really were coerced into giving the bay'ah, are we not correct in wanting to avenge the death of Uthman? He said, yes. If you were forced to give the bay'ah, you didn't give it out of your own will, then you're correct that you can ask to avenge the death of Uthman. Because if you don't give the bay'ah, you're not governed by the Khalifa. You have to wait on the Khalifa. Then they said, what if it's proven that you gave the pledge and you gave it on your own decision? They said, if that's the case, then the decision is that of the Khalifa and we are in the wrong and we will pull back. So this shows you also their intention, that had they pledged to Ali, they would have obeyed him. But they felt that they were free to act because they didn't pledge to Ali. So they were free to act and as they would like. They weren't governed by having to obey Ali radiallahu anhu. So this now is the agreement. So they wrote out an agreement and they sent a man by the name of Ka'b ibn Sur. Ka'b ibn Sur, he was a judge, the judge of Basra. And he was a pious man and he was a great scholar. So Ka'b ibn Sur radiallahu anhu goes to Medina with the intent to investigate. Basically, they sent him to see if when Talha and Zubair pledged, were they forced to do it or did they pledge on their own accord? Because if they were forced to pledge, then they have the right to ask and seek the murders of Uthman. But if they pledged of their own will, then they don't have the right to do that and they have to wait on the decision of the Khalifa. So Ka'b ibn Sur radiallahu anhu goes to Medina to investigate. And when he arrives there, Ali is not there, obviously. Because remember, he went out with his army to stop Talha and Zubair. He's still on his way there. So the people gathered because of his arrival. He arrives on the day of Al-Jumu'ah. And he was known, his position was known amongst the Muslims. So the people gathered to hear what he's going to say. So he said, O people of Medina, I am the messenger of the people of Al-Basra to you. Then he asked them, did the people coerce Talha and Zubair upon the pledge to Ali? Or did they come out of their own will? And no one responds. The whole masjid and no one responds to him. And why is that? Because the people of Fitna are still in charge of Medina. And if you speak, you'll get killed. And they're the only ones with weapons, as before. So then he asked them by Allah. He told them, I ask you by Allah. You have to answer me or fighting will break out and much killing will happen. You have to answer me. So then Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu stands up and says, Allahumma innahuma lam yubayi'a illa wahuma karihan. They did not pledge except while they were coerced, they were forced. So then a man by the name of Tammam, one of the leaders of the people of Fitna, he gets up and he raises his sword to kill Usama ibn Zayd. The governor of Medina, Sahl ibn Hunayf, he gets up and he stops him. And the people get up to stop him. He wants to kill Usama ibn Zayd. And the people of the Fitna get up to kill Usama ibn Zayd. And he was saved by Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu. He pulls him, he physically has to pull him out of the people. And Muhammad ibn Muslim and others, they pull him and they aid, يعني, others from the Sahaba, they aided in pulling him out of the masjid. And Suhaib took him to his home. He takes him to his house and he says to him, what is this? You speak in a situation in which you know you'll be killed. He tells him, didn't what suffice us of silence suffice you? We were contempt with being silenced. Why weren't you? So then Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu says, La wallah, I would not see the situation to get to what it became and stay quiet. And I'm not going to wait and let people get killed and stay quiet. So Ka'b ibn Sur takes this response and he goes back to Al-Basra. So Sahl ibn Hunayf immediately sent news of what happened to Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali knows that if Ka'b goes to Al-Basra with this news, all of them are going to join the army of Mecca. So immediately he sends a letter to Ka'b ibn Sur. And he tells them that I heard of what has happened. But even if they pledged in this way, who did they pledge to? He's asking him. They pledged not to the people of Fitna. They pledged to me. And what do they want now? Do they want to be the Khulafa? If that's the case, let them announce that. Otherwise, they have to obey the Khalifa, even if they were forced. So Ali radiallahu anhu is trying to convince Ka'b ibn Sur not to go with this news to Basra. It's only going to cause more problems. But Ka'b ibn Sur never received this letter, and he reaches al-Basra before the letter of Ali reaches him. So people came to ask Uthman ibn Hunayf. Now they're telling him that according to our agreement, when we said we're going to investigate, and now the response, the result of the investigation comes back, he says, according to our agreement, Talha and Zubair are in the right. And Uthman ibn Hunayf, the governor, tells him, I have received a letter from Amir al-Mu'mineen, and it tells me this and this, these are the orders in it, and I'm going to obey him. So the people were divided. Some joined the army of Mecca, and some stayed with the army of Uthman ibn Hunayf. So the people of Fitna saw that things are not in their favor now. People, after the investigation of Ka'b ibn Sur, starting to join the army of Mecca. So they started to think, how can they get out of this situation? So the only way to get out of the situation, they gathered, they got Hukaym ibn Jabala and some others of the murderers of Uthman and Bani Abd al-Qais, who were the allies of Hurqus ibn Zuhair, one of also the murderers of Uthman, joined them and they began the fighting again. And every time things are about to settle down, they start to fight again. And then fierce fighting takes place. And Aisha radiallahu anha is calling them to stop and they refuse. And she orders a man to go out and to yell, to say, we only want the murderers of Uthman. We will not fight except with those who killed Uthman. Whoever did not take part in the murder of Uthman, let him leave the battlefield. Of course, if he says this, the people of Fitna are going to be uncovered immediately. They're going to all be killed. So the man goes out to say this. And as soon as he does, Hukaym ibn Jabala gets to him and he kills him. So then the fierce fighting continues. And many people are killed. And Hukaym ibn Jabala, he was a fierce warrior. But a man from the army of Mecca was able to reach him. And the man got him and he cut off his leg. He cut off Hukaym's leg. One of the people of Fitna. So then his leg fell off. So he fell off his horse. And then this man comes to finish him off. But Hukaym got up and he took his leg, his cut leg, and he hits the man in the face. And then he comes crawling to the man and he cuts off his head. So he's not able to move anymore because he has one leg. So he sits on top of this man. He sits on top of him. So then a friend of Hukaym came and he said to him, oh Hukaym, who hurt you? Who is the one who did this to you? And he says, my wisada, my cushion, meaning the one I'm sitting on now, is my cushion now. So then he got up on one leg and he hopped. And he started hopping and 70 people gathered around him. And he encourages them to fight and he tells them never to surrender. So the fighting grows even more fierce. And a man from Bani Abd al-Qais heard Hukaym ibn Jabala murmuring something. So he said, what are you saying? And he finds Hukaym cursing Aisha radiallahu anha. So the man tells him, you son of a khabitha, you son of a wicked woman, you curse the mother of the believers? So then Hukaym took a spear and he killed this man, the man who heard him say that. So this made Bani Abd al-Qais leave the battlefield because he kills one of them. They're coming there to support him, he kills one of them. So they leave the battlefield and they're not willing to support to a degree where they start to curse the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. So then Hukaym dies. And as these events unfurl, the people of Fitna are uncovered now. So the army of Mecca starts to kill the people of Fitna left and right. So they ran. So Aisha called to their people and to their tribes saying, we only want the murderers of Uthman, so hand them over to us. And each tribe started to hand over those of its kinsmen who took part in the murder of Uthman. They would pull them from their feet. Their people from their tribe pulling from their feet and give them to the army of Mecca. And they killed all 600 men. So, all of the people who took part in Basra, in the murder of Uthman, who left Basra and had Uthman killed, except Hurqus ibn Zuhair. All of the others were killed. Hurqus ibn Zuhair went to his people, and they were taken over by tribalism, because he's one of their nobles, so they refused to turn him over. When the army of Aisha radiallahu anha comes demanding to deliver Hurqus, they refused and they came out to meet them with 6,000 warriors. And they said, we will not turn him over except with our blood. And they hid him. So all except Hurqus ibn Zuhair were killed. This is how the event in Al-Basra ended. And now Talha and Zubair enter the masjid to talk to Uthman ibn Hunayf at the time of Isha. Uthman ibn Hunayf, the governor. They just go in peacefully and to talk to him. So Uthman ibn Hunayf was at his home and he was delayed. So when he was late, Talha and Zubair told the emir of their army, who was Abdurrahman ibn Utab ibn Usaid, lead the people in prayer. You lead the people. Because Uthman ibn Hunayf is late now. He's delayed. So the guards of Uthman ibn Hunayf, they refused. They wouldn't let Abdurrahman ibn Utab lead the salah. He's not the governor. So they started to fight in the masjid. And the group of Talha and Zubair became victorious in this fight. So they sent a group of people to go and bring Uthman ibn Hunayf to the masjid to turn over al-Basra. He refused to come with them. Talha and Zubair sent people to bring him and he refused to go with them. So this delegation insisted and he refused. So they insulted him and they hit him in his home. And then they started to pull his beard and plucked his beard until not a hair was left on his face. And then they pulled him physically to Talha and Zubair. So when they saw this, they were shocked. We didn't order you to do this to the man. So they sent to Aisha radiallahu anha. And she says, leave him alone. So he immediately he leaves. This is Uthman ibn Hunayf radiallahu anhu. He leaves al-Basra. He goes to Ali immediately. And when Ali heard the news and how many innocent people were killed in the battles of Basra, and how it was taken by force, and how they did this to his governor, he said, now it is halal to fight them. Because he is the Khalifa. He's the Khalifa. They can't do this to him. So he said some comforting words to Uthman ibn Hunayf, and he tells him, we left you as a sheikh, and you came back to us as a young man, because he has no beard. So he made up his mind to go and fight the army of Mecca. Because now they're taking over his city by force. And they will do this from city to city. They're going to do this. Because the people of Fitna came out of Basra, they came out of Al-Kufa, they came out of Egypt. So they're going to move on to every city until they do this. So he decided that he now has to stop them by force. And Talha and Zubair, like the army, their army didn't come to take over Basra. But the people of Fitna forced them into this situation. Every time things are going to calm down, they attack and they start the fighting and they cause the commotion. Now, they started to call the people of Basra to join them. And they started to join them. Including the people earlier who were neutral and didn't want to join the fitna, the people in Basra, they started to join the army of Mecca. In their minds, they saw that they were able to kill the murderers of Uthman while Ali radiallahu anhu was not able to. So now the army of Zubair and Talha and Aisha radiallahu anha grew substantially. And this encouraged them even more. Gave them more encouragement that we can do it now. So they sent a letter to the Amsar in the different areas, telling them to join them. First they sent a letter to Al-Sham. And then they sent a letter to Al-Kufa and Yamama. So now even the people of Al-Madinah started to come out to join the army of Mecca in Al-Basra. They're saying that if Amir al-Mu'mineen is not able to bring the murderers of Uthman to justice, we'll take a revenge ourselves. So then the army of Aisha radiallahu anha grew to 30,000 warriors. And Ali radiallahu anhu only had 10,000. And the people of Fitna were embedded in his army. So it's a difficult situation. When he saw their strength increased, he heads to Al-Kufa. Because there were many who supported Ali. Remember we said that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was the governor of Al-Kufa and all of it was under the control of Ali. So Ali, when he sees the army of Talha and Zubair going to 30,000 and he only has 10,000, he goes to Al-Kufa. Because he has many supporters there. And he goes to ask for their help. So he sends messengers to the people of Kufa with Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr as-Siddiq and Muhammad ibn Ja'far, with letters to the people of Kufa. And he says, I have chosen you in the letter to assist in the religion of Allah so we can bring the Ummah back to being united and to become brothers again. So the governor of Kufa, who was put there by Ali radiallahu anhu, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, or He wasn't necessarily put there by Ali, but Ali left him there because he pledged to Ali. When Muhammad ibn Ja'far and Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr came to them, he had the people gathered, and they read the letter of Ali to Abu Musa and those in the gathering. So then Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, remember, he's the one who narrated the hadith of fitan. He got up and he spoke, and he tells the people, this is a fitna. And that there are two options, to sit for the sake of Allah, or to go out for the sake of dunya. Sit for the sake of Allah, or you go out for the sake of the dunya. And he tells them, this is a fitna, don't take part in this. And this is the governor of Ali radiallahu anhu, advising his people against what Ali wants. So no one at all goes out with them to join the army of Ali. So then the messenger started to speak harshly to Abu Musa, saying, you're the governor of Ali and you say this to the people? And then Abu Musa tells them, wallahi, the bay'ah of Uthman is on my neck and that of your companion, meaning Ali radiallahu anhu. So if there is not an option but to fight, then we will not fight anyone until we are done with the murders of Uthman. So if we have to fight, we're not going to fight until we kill the murderers of Uthman. I'm not going to go fight the army of Aisha radiallahu anha before going out to kill the murderers of Uthman. So now the governor of Ali is also on the opinion of Talha and Zubair. So the messengers return to Ali with the news. So Ali chooses Malik ibn al-Harith, who is known as Al-Ashtar al-Nukhi. And he is one of the murderers of Uthman, but he is also one of the nobles of Kufa. So that's why Ali sends him. Perhaps that he may be able to convince them. And he sent him with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And they went to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and they spoke to him. And he did not respond to them, but he gathered the people. He spoke, saying, O people, verily the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who lived with him are the most knowledgeable of Allah and his messenger than those who were not with him. Showing them the place of the companions. And we have a right upon you, and we give you advice that you don't take lightly the Sultan of Allah and not transgress against Allah. And to take those who came to you from Medina, meaning the people of Fitna, and send them back to it so they are gathered there together. This is a difficult fitna. The one who is asleep during it is better than the one who is awake. And the one who is awake is better than the one who is sitting. And the one who is sitting is better than the one who is standing. And the one who is standing is better than the one who is riding. So sheathe your swords and ansilul asinna, which means put a cover over the spearheads, because they obviously people didn't carry the spear uncovered like that. You can hurt people. She tells them, so sheathe your swords and ansilul asinna, cover your spearheads, and break your weapons and assist the oppressed until this affair ends and the fitna ends. So no one leaves out with them. So Ali can't leave this situation as it is. He was hoping that, especially in Kufa, he would get the most help. So he sends Al-Hasan, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, and Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. And they entered the masjid and the people gathered. So they spoke to Abu Musa. Al-Hasan began and he said, why are you stopping the people from aiding us? Wallahi, we only want to make things right. And the like of Ali is not feared. Meaning, you do not fear Ali that he might do some injustice to people. He's a just man. And he tells him, you have spoken the truth. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you. But the one who is consulted is entrusted. Meaning, I have to be truthful to you. You're consulting me. And I have heard the Prophet ﷺ say, there will be a fitna. And the one who is sitting is better than the one who is standing. And the one who is standing is better than the one who is walking. And the one who is walking is better than the one who is riding. And Allah has made us brothers and made our blood and wealth unlawful. He's saying our blood and our wealth are haram. So now who should the people listen to? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, and he has good arguments. Or should they listen to the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So then Ammar radiallahu anhu, Ammar ibn Yasir, he got up and he said, Abu Musa has spoken the truth. But help Amir al-Mu'mineen. So radiallahu anhu, he wasn't a very good orator, or he wasn't very convincing. He just said, Abu Musa spoke the truth, but help Amir al-Mu'mineen. So then Al-Hasan says to Ammar, sit down. You're not the one for this task. So then he calls Al-Qa'qa. He says, "O Qa'qa, stand up." And Al-Qa'qa stood. He said, "O people of Kufa, I am to you an advisor and I care for you. And I want what is good for you. And I will tell you that which is the truth. As for what was said by the Amir Abu Musa, it is the truth. But there is no place for it now." He's telling them it's too late. The fitna has already progressed. So we're not in a situation where we just sit back and wait for everything to become okay. We're in a situation now where we have to take action in order to fix the fitna. So Al-Qaqa radiallahu anhu brings an excellent point. He says it is necessary to have an authority to organize people and to support the oppressed. And this is Amir al-Mu'mineen. You have given him bay'ah and he has called you time and time again. And you have to assist him to support the oppressed and humiliate the oppressor. And he calls you to rectify conditions. So assist him. He's telling people to go out to him. So Ali radiallahu anhu. His arguments that people can't live without the Khalifa and they can't live without authority in organizing things and removing oppression. So one of the leaders of Kufa, his name is Sayhan ibn Sawhan. He gets up and he's one of the leaders of Kufa and he says, "Oh people, we have to assist in this issue and this is your Amir. And he's in charge of this Ummah and its affairs and he is faqih in deen. And whoever goes to him, we will go with them." So now, we're getting some of the leaders of Kufa want to go out with the army of Ali radiallahu anhu. And then Al-Hasan says, "Respond to your Amir and go to your brothers. Wallahi, the people of stature and intelligence and position call upon you to respond to them." And the Amir, the believer, says, "I have come out either oppressing or oppressed." So Ali is saying there are two options. I'm coming out, maybe I'm an oppressor, or maybe I'm oppressed. If you find me oppressed, help me. And if you find me to be oppressing, fight me. He's telling them, look into the issue and decide for yourself. If I'm an oppressor, then you can fight me. But if I'm oppressed, then you have to assist me. And then he says, "And Wallahi Talha and Zubair were the first to give me bay'ah and the first to leave me." And then he says to them, "Have I stolen wealth or have I changed the laws of Allah so you don't obey me? And have I done anything that's bad that you should not obey me?" He says to them that I'm upon the truth. There's no reason for you to disobey me. So get up and command the good and forbid the evil. So then when Al-Hasan said that, the people got up and they went out with him and they left Abu Musa radiallahu anhu. And with that, 10,000 warriors came from Kufa to join the army of Ali. So now Ali radiallahu anhu moves to meet the army of Talha and Zubair. And he doesn't want to fight with them initially. So he sent a man that's respected both by Talha and by Zubair ibn al-Awwam. He sends them a man to talk to them and he is Al-Qa'qa ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. So he goes out in front of the army of Al-Basra and he went to Aisha radiallahu anha. And he asked her, "Oh mother, what brought you here to this town?" And she says, "Oh son, to make amends between the people." And then he tells her, send, call for Talha and Zubair so they hear what I have to say. And they sent for them and they came. And then Al-Qa'qa says, "I have asked the mother of the believers, what has brought her here?" And she said, "To make amends between people." "So what do you say? Do you agree or disagree?" And they said, "We agree." Talha and Zubair, they agree, that's why we came. So then he tells them, Al-Qa'qa continues, "Tell me, what is it that you came to amend? What is it that you came to fix?" And he says, "Wallahi, if we know what it is, we will help you in it. And if we repudiate it, if we don't like it, or if we refuse it, then that means it's something that doesn't amend and doesn't fix to begin with." So they said, "The murderers of Uthman, this is what we came to fix. Verily, this affair, if it is left alone, it is like leaving the Qur'an." So they're making a mention to the Qisas here, to kill the murderers. You say, if we leave the murders of Uthman, it's as if we left the Qur'an. And Ali is not able to do the Qisas. So they're not coming against Ali as the Khalifa or anything. They're coming out to kill the murders of Uthman. So then Al-Qa'qa radiallahu anhu says, "You have killed the murders of Uthman from the people of Al-Basra. And before killing them, you were closer to being upright than when you killed 600 men and then 6,000 were moved because of them. You asked for Hurqus ibn Zuhair and 6,000 prevented you from him. If you leave them, then you left the Qur'an." And then he tells them that which you came for, caused more problems than the death of Uthman. The death of Uthman, one person died. And now 600 plus people died because of you trying to avenge the death of one man. And then he tells them, if you can't get to this one man and you leave him, then you leave the Qur'an. And if you want to get to him, you will have the fitna of having to fight 6,000. So you were better before you left than today. Before starting this battle, you were in a better situation than now. So it shows how wise Al-Qaqa radiallahu anhu was. So then Aisha radiallahu anhu tells him, so what do you say then? And then he says, I say that this issue can be resolved by calming things down. Instead of causing more commotion, let's calm things down. If it calms down and the Khalifa is in charge, we can easily capture Hurquz ibn Zuhair. So if you give us the pledge, then it is a sign of good and a glad tidings of mercy, and we will get revenge with you. And if you refuse except to pursue this, then it's a bad sign. So pursue what is right and don't expose us to tribulations that will overtake us and will overtake you as well. So these are the words of Al-Qahqa radiallahu anhu. Then he says, by Allah, I say this and I invite you to it while I'm afraid that it doesn't go through until Allah takes what He wills from this ummah. Because this that has happened is not like a man killing a man, or a person killing another person, or a tribe killing a man. So he's telling them what's happening is not like one man killing another man, or a person killing another person, but it has large groups of people involved. That's why this is a bigger fitna. So then they thought about it, and then they said to Al-Qaqa, you have spoken the truth. You have spoken truly. And then they said to him, if Ali comes, and he is upon your opinion, then this affair will be upright. Everything's going to be good. So we're not going to pledge, but we're going to wait. We'll give him a chance, and if things settle down and he kills the murderers of Uthman, then that's what we want. But if things settle down and he doesn't kill the murderers of Uthman, then we're going to go out and we're going to kill him ourselves. And if he agrees to that, and if Ali agrees to these stipulations, we're going to be with him. They agreed, and Al-Qaqa immediately goes to Ali radiallahu anhu and he tells him. And Ali was satisfied and he was very happy. And he approached him and sent to make sure that they were still upon the agreement. And he found them still upon the agreement. And they sent to him and they make sure that he's upon the agreement. And they found him to agree. So then Ali got up to speak and he praised Allah. And then he says, I am, inshaAllah, tomorrow returning. So leave as well. He's saying, everyone leave, everyone go back. And then he said, let not anyone who helped against Uthman in any way come out with me. Remember now, since the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu, they've been embedded in his army and he can't get rid of them. Look what happens when he gets strength. Now that the army of Mecca is with him, he says, let not anyone who had anything to do with the murder of Uthman go back with me to Medina. So now you can see the signs of strength showing up already. And then the people spent the night with the intention that next day they're all going back to their cities, to Medina, to Mecca, back to Basra. And the Emir of the believers is going back to Medina without any of the killers of Uthman in his army. And the fitna is over. And the people spent that night, and it was the best night spent since the death of Uthman. At the same time, it was the worst night for the people who murdered Uthman. Because now when the people agreed, it means their end. It means they're all going to be killed. So their leaders met and they discussed, and they came with only one solution. Some suggested that they should kill Ali. And then Abdullah ibn Sabah said, what a bad idea. If we add the murder of Ali to that of Uthman, wallahi, the people will gather against us. Others have made suggestions, but all of them in the end, they agreed to the suggestion of Ibn Sauda, Abdullah ibn Sabah, who says, my opinion is not to allow the people to agree. And the only way to do that is to begin the fighting again.